Good morning. Our text for today is taken from Matthew chapters 9 and 10, beginning at verse 35 of chapter 9. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction. And then Matthew names the 12 disciples. And then these 12 disciples Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, no tunic or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your word, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." The text in this text is very important. Jesus is for the first time sending his disciples out. And I'm not really sure they're convinced that they can do the job or that they're very confident. And that got me thinking about, for some reason, thinking about the best football team I was ever on. It was the eighth grade football team. We were fantastic, unbeaten that season. Of course, it had nothing to do with the uniforms and the equipment we had because we had the worst. Our school, Central Junior High, was kind of poor. And so our equipment was from the late 50s and early 1960s. So for example, when we put our pads on, we had to strap the pads to our body first and then put on our entire uniform. Nothing was form-fitting, nothing fit, and the worst thing of all was the helmet. We had like these helmets from the early 60s that had kind of ears on either side and only one bar across the front. And so when we got off the bus to play another football team, we looked ridiculous. And the other team across from us, man, all their pads were form-fitting, and they had these fantastic helmets with all these bars and everything, and they had tearaway jerseys. They had everything that we didn't have. The one thing we had is a chip on our shoulder. And so when we get off the bus, the other team would usually laugh at us because we looked so ridiculous, and I didn't blame them. But after the first quarter, they would stop laughing. The closest anybody got to us that year was 42-3, and I think we gave up that three just to be nice. We were that good. But we were prepared for each game because we knew exactly who we are, and who we were had nothing to do with the equipment we had. Now, in this text, Jesus is preparing his disciples to go on a missionary journey that they are not really prepared for. In fact, in this text, Jesus is not just talking about this upcoming journey, he's also talking about preparing them for the rest of their lives, even their lives as apostles. So when Jesus is saying, you know, go to the town and stay in a worthy person's home, he's talking about this missionary journey. But when he's talking about being arrested and hauled into court and standing before governors and being flogged and beaten, he's talking about the rest of their ministry, especially when they're apostles after Jesus ascends. He's saying, "I'm preparing you for all this." Now, at first, he prepares them, it seems pretty good, because he sends them out in pairs. And I skipped over the list of the disciples, but if you happen to look at that list in chapter 9 of Matthew, I think really these are the pairs that he sent them out in. It's in the right order. So in other words, Peter and Andrew, his brother, they would have been a pair. James and John, his brother, would have been a pair. And on down the line until the guy who drew the short stick got to go with Judas Iscariot. I'm sure he carried his wallet in his front pocket, you know, around that guy. But anyway, that helps, okay? That really prepares you, that you're not going out alone. At least you're with somebody. But everything else Jesus says doesn't seem to be preparing them for this journey and this work. He says, don't bring any money. Refuse to be paid. Don't bring any extra clothes. Don't bring any extra shoes. Don't bring any extra anything. In fact, you have to completely rely on the hospitality of strangers. And just to top it off, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Now, you can look at this and say, yes, but Jesus gave them supernatural powers. That certainly is true. The power to heal, the power to cast out demons, all these wonderful powers. But keep in mind, these powers are not targeted to helping them on their journey. They're targeting to helping other people that they will meet. So, he's not really preparing them, according to the disciples and according to me. I don't think the disciples felt all that prepared. And especially where Jesus is peppered throughout chapters 9 and 10 is Jesus telling them not to worry about it. Well, I think they had a lot to worry about. They weren't prepared. Keep in mind, this is early in Jesus' ministry. Let's say 2.5 years from now, okay? When they have had 2.5 years of Jesus' teaching and Jesus' miracles, 2.5 years for their faith to mature, at that point, Jesus says, you of little faith. If that's the case 2.5 years from this day, how microscopic could their faith be right now? And yet Jesus says, don't worry. Well, they were worried. And so I think to build their confidence, Jesus tries to help them see what he sees. And it says when he looked at the people to whom he was going to send them, he said they look like sheep without a shepherd. And there's two adjectives used to describe them, harassed and helpless. Now, the true definition of those words in reference to sheep is simple. Harassed means the sheep don't have a shepherd. Therefore, they have nothing to protect them from the danger that surrounds them everywhere. So harassed sheep will run from one danger to the other until they wear themselves out and just lie down and give up. And that's when they're helpless. Jesus looked at his people, the Jews, in that way. The people who had come to him from all over. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The thing is, they did have shepherds. Okay, I mean, the prophets talk about all the shepherds that God had sent to them. The Pharisees, for example, should have been shepherds to the people. They have shepherds. The shepherds just aren't doing their job. So in essence, they have no shepherds. And so all around them, there are dangers. And there's nothing they can do with them until they finally are just filled with a deep sense of foreboding and depression. And they give up on themselves and they give up on life. Jesus says, that's what I see when I look at these people. And I want you to see those are the people I'm sending you to. And I want you to see your incredible opportunity to help them. And the disciples must have thought, how can I help them when I can't help myself? They could have said to Jesus, you know, you yourself called us sheep. We're just sheep like them. We're not much better than them. We're harassed. We're helpless. We can't do this work. And then just to top it off, Jesus not only says, don't worry, but later in this text, he says, and the one who stands until the end will be saved. Before, they were just worried about not being able to help others. Now they're worried about not being able to help themselves. So Jesus wants to give them confidence. My 8th grade football team was confident because we knew who we were. And Jesus is going to show them who they are. Number one, Jesus says, you are not like the people I'm sending you to. They are sheep without a shepherd. You are not harassed, you are not helpless, and you should not be afraid because you have a good shepherd, and it's me. Number one, you have a shepherd. And number two, you will stand until the end and be saved. When I think about that word, stand until the end, I'm reminded of a parable that is easily misunderstood. That's the parable of the builder, right? The wise and the foolish builder. The wise builds on rock, and the foolish builder builds on sand. And when the storm comes, the house on the sand washes away, and the house on the rock stays, endures, is saved. And I had a lot of problems with that, and a lot of people do, because I always considered in that parable, I'm the builder. And over the years, a few things occurred to me. Number one, parables are primarily not about us. They're not moral lessons for us to follow. Parables primarily are about God and what he does, or Jesus and what he does. And that certainly is the case here. And also, you have to read all of Scripture in context. So you have to read this parable in context. And the context of all of Scripture clearly states that I do not create my own salvation. In other words, I'm not the builder here, just like I am not the foundation. The foundation the house is built on is Jesus Christ and his good news. The builder is not me. The builder is God. I'm the house. I'm the house that God builds firmly on the foundation of his Son. I'm the sheep who God has given a good shepherd. And I am a disciple who has been sent out to people who are hurting and lost. I've been sent out to help them, as we all have. And we can help. Because our foundation is Jesus Christ. Because we have a good shepherd. Because we know who we are. We can go to these people and help them. We can go to the unloved and love them. We can go to those who are not cared for and care for them. We can go to those in darkness and show them light. And we can go to people who have no shepherd and introduce them to our good shepherd. So like us, they can know who they are. They are sheep belonging to a beloved shepherd who are always loved. In Jesus' name, amen.